Let's just pray before we start. Father, I want to thank you for your amazing love for us that we've heard about this afternoon, and it's just so amazing when we remind ourselves of what you've done for us. And I just thank you, Father, for the word that you've put on my heart, and I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'll help me to say your words in the way that you want me to say. And I pray that you'll bless my brothers and sisters, and that you'll build each one of us up and give us a new spring in our steps as we face this new year. In Jesus' name, Father. Amen. Well, I wanted to play that beautiful song because, as I said, it illustrates what the Lord has been saying to me, and I believe what he's saying to us as a church in this new year. Show me your face, Lord. This could be our prayer for the year. Show me your face, Lord. Obviously, the song begins by drawing attention to the unique place that Moses had in the purposes of God. That Moses was special in a way because he had a relationship with the Lord that was very special. Exodus 33:11 tells us that he spoke with the Lord face to face. Now we know that in the Old Testament, people were terrified that they might see the face of the Lord, because it meant if you saw the face of the Lord, you couldn't live. There was something about the glory that came from God's face that was just too great. And we know that Samson's parents, before he was born, they had a visitation from the angel of the Lord. And Manoah, his father, says to his mother-to-be, gosh, you know, we're doomed. We've seen the angel of the Lord. We're going to die. She's got more sense than him, really. She says, well, he wouldn't have appeared to us if he was going to destroy us. So they had this wonderful promise of the birth of Samson. We know, too, from the early chapters of Genesis, that God's original plan was that he would be with his people face to face. And so we see in the Garden of Eden that God spends time with Adam and Eve. It was his habit to walk in the garden. He tells us he walked in the garden in the cool of the evening. That was for Adam and Eve's convenience, not his. The heat didn't bother the Lord. But it was because it was a good time. He was thinking of them. It was a good time to meet them. And we know that they had fellowship with him. And how wonderful that fellowship must have been, to be with the Creator and to be able to ask him all sorts of questions. You know, how about this and why? And we know that even before Eve was on the scene, that the Lord had a special relationship with Adam. He was different from all the other creatures he'd made, because he gives Adam this unique place. He says, Adam, I'm going to bring all the animals to you. You've got the joy, the responsibility. You can name them. So he gives Adam dignity and honour by involving him in creation. And as we know, and as we've heard about tonight, sin interrupted this wonderful fellowship of intimacy, resulting in separation, ignorance of the knowledge of God, and ultimately death. And we see that today. There are so many false religions, so many false ideas about the nature of God. Even on the periphery of the Christian church, there are heresies about the nature of God. And all through church history, there's been this constant battle with distortion of the truth. Jesus emphasizes this truth when he tells his disciples, Moses was on the mountain and he talked with God face to face, but God had to cover Moses' eyes so that when he passed by, he couldn't see the full glory. He spoke face to face with the Lord, but he never saw that glory. And Jesus says this in Matthew 13 and verses 15 to 17. He says, the hearts of this people has grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing and their eyes are closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes for what they see, and your ears for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. I believe there is a special responsibility upon us, because we have this opportunity and we must not waste it. People in the Old Testament would have given their right arms just to know a fraction of what you know and of what you've encountered through the Holy Spirit and in your relationship with the Lord Jesus. We are so blessed to belong to Jesus and have access into this intimate relationship with him. And it's amazing that the Holy Spirit can dwell not only with us, but in us, and speak to us and through us. In the Old Testament, a prophet had the Holy Spirit come upon them and they prophesied. We have the amazing opportunity of having the Holy Spirit live within us. And that's because only of what we heard tonight about the blood of Jesus. All those sacrifices we've been reading about so far in the first books of Moses, I read about them, all the sacrifices that had to go on day after day, and on the Day of Atonement, the first day there were 13 bulls killed, and on the second day there were 12, and never mind the sheep and the rams. All this had to go on to deal with the incidence of sin. We've been bought with the precious blood of Jesus, and we are in a privileged position, and therefore there is a responsibility upon us that we must not waste. We must be accountable when we enter eternity for the opportunities that we've had that other people did not have. We have to give an account of ourselves and how we've conducted our lives and how we've spent our lives. So it's so amazing that the Holy Spirit comes to live within us and is able to teach us just as it promises in Scripture and to lead us. It would be wonderful as a church if we could make it our aim this year to actually seek the Lord's face in a new way, with a new passion and a new determination, and not just to take for granted the blessing and the privilege that we have. So what practical things can we do to make this relationship more of a reality? How can we make it and keep it as our own? I want to see your face, Lord, every moment and every day. I'd like to suggest four brief ways, but they're all inseparable, really, because each one is related to the other. If we miss one, it will affect the other. And so the first thing is worship, and this is what we've done tonight. We've worshipped, and people have had spontaneous songs that the Holy Spirit has put on their heart, and which is a wonderful thing, because if we're listening to the Holy Spirit, all the worship songs and the themes and the ideas are all connected and relate to each other, and they take us somewhere. This is why it's important that we don't just come up with our favourite song, because we always like that song. But listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying. What is appropriate? What's he saying to us at this minute? And responding and reflecting on that. So when I'm talking about worship, it's important what we've done together today. Is that corporate worship is a wonderful, wonderful thing. But really I'm talking here about our private worship. So let me ask you a question. Are you a worshipper? What does it mean to be a worshipper? Because Jesus said that the Father seeks such to worship him. We know he said this to the woman at the well in Samaria. The Father seeks such to worship him. So what does it mean? And how will you know if you are a worshipper? It means that when we are on our own, whatever we're doing, we're praising the Lord in our hearts. Now, when I look back on my early Christian days, this was not a feature all the time of my life. But I've noticed as I've grown in the Lord that more and more worship is welling up inside me. And I'm less distracted by things. Even though when we get older, sometimes things are harder to do because we can't always remember all the things about them. But it means that when we're on our own, our relationship with Jesus is such that we are lifting up our heart to him. And you know, some of the simple songs we sang tonight, just one verse, but it's something that you can make your own and just let it flow through you, because I believe it blesses the Lord, because he loves us and he loves to have a relationship with us. It's very obvious to me that the lady who sang the song, Stephanie Gretzinger, is a worshipper. And if you look at some of the other songs on the album, you'll see that they're all, some of them are quite old. She's not old herself, but she's taking some songs from the 70s and she sings them in a very slow and worshipful way. As you don't rush through them, you've got time, the Holy Spirit lets them percolate down in our spirit and does something for us. Acts 16 verse 14 tells us about a woman at Philippi called Lydia, and it says she was a worshipper. It says this, "Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul." So worship prepares our heart and opens us up to the things of God and is a way of helping us to grow more quickly. Hebrews 13:15 says, "Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name." That is what Scripture is telling us. And that's why the passage we read at the very start of the meeting from Ephesians 5, it tells us how to conduct ourselves together as a church, to have spontaneous songs, to encourage each other, to bless each other with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord. I hope this doesn't sound too far-fetched, because it is the reality that's presented to us as an option in Scripture that is ours if we can be bothered to pursue it. Look, I know we go through trials when things seem hard in life, so this can sound impractical if I'm suggesting that we continually worship the Lord, although I believe that is possible. See, when we're going through a trial, that's when we need it the most. When the enemy is assaulting our minds with doubts and fear, we need to look up and keep our eyes on God and on his promises and his overriding purposes for our lives, because his purpose for our life doesn't change just because we're going through a tough time. So let's just look quickly at some practical things that are available to us to help us to worship when we're on our own. Well, this is about Eric and Vida. If you go to Eric and Vida's house, you'll know that on the wall there's a television, but it's not blaring out EastEnders and all the bad news and everything. Eric and Vida play worship songs that they stream from YouTube. So you'll see some Hillsong ones and some from various places. But it's a way of making their home a place of worship. So when they're relaxing, they're not letting all the junk on TV just wash over them and depress them and fill them with all the mess in the world. They're allowing the Holy Spirit to lift their spirits and to bless them. And I commend them for that. That is a blessing. You can search for songs on YouTube yourself. You don't have to be a great technician. If you go onto your browser and go onto YouTube and just type worship in, or if you like Hillsong's music, type Hillsong's, and then a whole load of songs from Hillsong's or wherever will come up. There's lots of wonderful worship songs, and play one that you like, and then you can use that. You can even download them so you can play them offline later on. You can even put the soundtrack, just the soundtrack, on your phone. And so if you're waiting somewhere, you can have a listen to a worship song. When I'm driving down from near Otterburn, from the wilds of Northumberland, I invariably play worship music. And it's just a wonderful way to be ready and prepared when you come into the meeting. You've not been worried about shopping and gardening and all the other things, but your mind is already starting to get attuned to the Lord. And sometimes, because it's random, I get a chapter of the Bible as well. I can remember the last time I went down to the naturally supernatural conference in Watford back in last February, John 17 came up as I was just driving down the motorway, and the traffic was terrible. It was just stop start all the way, and John 17 kept playing, and I had to put it on repeat, and I must have repeated it about 15 times, and every time it was read through, I gleaned something else from it. The Lord was feeding me from his word that blessed me at that conference. So all these practical things act as an aid to worship. And if you don't know how to download music or whatever, ask Eric. Now listen, if none of this sounds like you, it's not the way you do things, then you need to ask the Lord to show you strategies that will fit the way that you operate and the way that you work. Because the Holy Spirit has help for each one of us. If living as a worshipper sounds hard for you, remember that Jesus has sent to us the Holy Spirit, the Counselor, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit to dwell in us. So this brings me to the second point. So the first one is we need to be worshippers, not just when we're together, but when we're on our own. When you dig in the garden or you're washing up, this is what Brother Lawrence did hundreds of years ago when he worked in a monastery. He got all the rough jobs in the kitchen and in the herb garden. But he wrote, well, he didn't write the book, but people wrote it later from his experience called Practicing the Presence of God. So that even when he was washing up, he did it to the glory of God, and he was happy and blessed. And when he had all the menial jobs in the garden, he was happy and blessed. I believe that Brother Lawrence will be very happy in heaven, because he was already practicing what he would be doing. So the second point is this, and this is what Jesus said in John 14, verse 15 to 17. He says, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you, and he will be in you." And of course, Jesus was talking about the day of Pentecost, which we actually read this morning in Acts 2. This truth is that we desperately need the Holy Spirit in our lives. Yes, he comes in when we give our lives to Jesus, but the Bible makes it clear that we also need to be baptized in or with the Holy Spirit, as the disciples were on the day of Pentecost. If Jesus needed the Holy Spirit when he was baptized by John in the Jordan before he began his ministry, why do you think that you can manage without the Holy Spirit? Jesus had to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And that's from that moment, that's when his ministry began and works of power and miracles started happening. We don't know what happened before his ministry, but it seems clear that, as Claire said, he was just a carpenter, a godly carpenter in Nazareth, but the Son of God. And just consider the wonder of what we read this morning in Acts 2 about the day of Pentecost. You can just read this through and it can just skip on to the next verse. But it says there were godly Jews from all over the then known world who'd come to Jerusalem for the Feast of Pentecost. And they hear the disciples, these ordinary people from Galilee who had never learnt these languages, suddenly able to speak fluently in a language that they didn't know and they hadn't learned. Just consider that. That's what the Holy Spirit is able to do for the disciples and for us. I bet Claire wished that had happened before she had to learn Portuguese. But it was a wonderful thing. And we see that the impact of that was to bring many people into repentance. So the Holy Spirit can easily do for us what he did then, and many other wonderful things that we read about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 about the gifts of the Spirit. They're all used for reaching the lost, as well as blessing and encouraging each other and building us up and healing us. Let me just say, if you haven't received the baptism in the Spirit, seek him with all your heart. Without him, you will not grow very well as a Christian. We need the Holy Spirit, and we need to have a hunger and a thirst for him. So we need to humble ourselves and seek this as if your life depended on it. It may well one day, if persecution comes, because without the Holy Spirit, we will find it hard to stand. In that lovely song, Stephanie Gretzinger says, "I know I will make it to the end if I just see your face." And through all the trials of life that we go through, if we are able to focus on the face of Jesus and on his promises and on his love and on what he's done for us, he will carry us through all these experiences. It's the Holy Spirit who shows us the face of Jesus, and we need him. The third point is we need each other. We need fellowship. And the Bible warns us about the danger of going it alone. There's no such thing as the Lone Ranger in Christian life. So Hebrews 10:24 says, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." If we're able, we ought to ensure that we don't miss meeting together for just trivial reasons. Let's make it our aim to give priority to keep meeting together. And it's wonderful that we've got nearly as many people on Zoom who, for one reason or other, aren't able to come out as are here. That's a wonderful commitment to be part of us. So praise the Lord for that. So that was the third thing. We need each other. We need fellowship. And we mustn't neglect it. And the fourth and finally is intimacy, which is spelt T-I-M-E, time. It's no different with our human relationships. People we don't keep in touch with gradually fade from our lives. And you can perhaps think of friends from the past who you've not heard from for ages, and your relationship with them has just got weaker and weaker. If you were able to get together with them, you probably would rekindle it, but it fades. The best friendships are built on time, commitment, and sharing. And it's exactly the same with the Lord. If we want to improve our relationship with him, there is no substitute for allocating time to do this. He should have our first priority in the day as we seek him in prayer and reading the Bible. But when we shut our Bibles, we should still go through the rest of the day. We don't just shut it and forget it. We should still be chewing over and allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to us. I love Claire's testimony of when she was with her mum in those last days in hospital, because it illustrates what I'm saying, that we can converse with him at any time and in any place. So when the nurses came to change her mum, Claire had been there for a while, she just nipped into the bathroom for a shower, and she was just saying to the Lord, "You know, I wish I could do more for my mum. I wish I had done more for my mum." And it's just wonderful how the Holy Spirit speaks to us, because he knows everything that's going on in our heart. And his instant response to Claire was, "Well, you have done a wonderful thing for your mother, because you shared the gospel with her and you led her to Jesus." And so isn't it wonderful when the Holy Spirit is able, even when we're not feeling particularly spiritual, we're just going for a shower or something, but we talk to the Lord, we're communicating with him, and he communicates with us. And if we will listen, I believe he says a lot more to us than we actually take on board. We have to tune our ears to be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is saying. And the wonderful thing is that the more we hear him and the more we respond to him, the clearer his voice becomes. Well, we've got to be practical. We've got an adversary who has thousands of years of experience of derailing Christians. We will face challenges to our time. Your time with the Lord will come under constant assault. And the enemy will give you lots of other interesting little things that you just need to do. And I find this a particular problem as you get older, because if your memory is not so good and you get, oh, I've got to do that. If you don't do it, 10 minutes later, you think, oh, crumbs, what was that? It was quite important. It'll come back later. So the best thing to do is to write it down on a bit of paper, on a to-do list by your side, and then crack on with your prayer time, and then come back to it. Because it's all about priorities. Paul says this in Philippians 2 and verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. God is at work in us. We are his field. We are his handiwork. But we must cooperate for our progress to be effective. I know I'll make it to the end if I can just see your face, Lord. And that is true for every single one of us. And that's the way we can encourage each other. Because when somebody is feeling under the weather or down, the purpose of the body of Christ is to minister in the power of the Holy Spirit to that person. And just to encourage them, it might just be a phone call. It might be that the Holy Spirit gives you a verse of scripture. Share it with them to encourage them. It's so important that we cooperate with the Holy Spirit and obey him. Because one day we will be the person who's under the weather. And it's such a blessing for a brother or sister to come alongside and just give that word from the Lord, a word in season that will bless us. We all know people in our experience who got to the end of the race, but not in particularly good shape. Let's make sure that we get there, still running well, still looking to Jesus in all his wonder. The reward for getting to the end of our race intact is beyond our wildest imaginations. We're not running a race against each other. We're running our own race, and we need to get to the end. I'm just going to close by reading Paul's lovely passage in Philippians chapter 3, because it sums up Paul's attitude to his race. So verse 7 says, what things were gained to me, and he's been talking about all his heritage as a Jewish believer, all the good things he had working for him, the tribe of Benjamin, a Pharisee of Pharisees, he'd been trained under Gamaliel, he had everything going for him. But he says, what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yes, indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. Not that I have already attained this or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended it, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining for what is ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this in mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. He's saying, give it your best shot for Jesus. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this afternoon, and thank you for, again, for your love for us. We're so blessed to have you as our Heavenly Father, to have the Lord Jesus as our Saviour, and to have the Holy Spirit dwell in us and to lead us. Father, I want to thank you for each other. I want to thank you for bringing us at this time in history to this place together. And Lord, we want to go on with you. Our aim, our goal is to go on with you and to know more and more about you. So Father, will you help each one of us this year to make it our goal to go deeper with you, to seek your face, to get better at hearing your voice, to be quicker to obey and to respond, and to see your kingdom come through our lives, through the church. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Thank you, Lord.